You're listening to the best of the Dr. Laura Show podcast for Wednesday, November 6th. This is Hour 2.
Dr. Laura is on right now.
So the answer is no. You can talk on the phone, but visiting, if there are any other things she does, this is the only thing you brought up. But I got to tell you, it makes the two of you look seriously stupid. And it's not fair to blame the alligator when you keep sticking your hand in its mouth. If you said there's a history of her doing this, then the two of you are supremely stupid. And we can't say this is the last straw. We've been stupid. We have keep putting our hand in the alligator's mouth, and when it bites, we go, oh, bad alligator. I don't want to talk to the alligator anymore. That's just supremely stupid. Sitting there eating, she pays for dinner, and you know what's going to come, and you still can digest. I just think that's hilarious. All righty. I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Yeah. Welcoming you to this hour of the program right here on Sirius XM Triumph 111. You are here with Dan and Mallory, screening your calls, the amazing Carson Smith, engineering, orchestrating our music, producing the segues, and my number is 1-800 Dr. Laura, 1-800-375-2872. Mel, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I love you.
Thank you.
I'm my kid's mom, and I try every day to be my husband's girlfriend. And I just want to thank you for all that you do for families and for women and helping us keep our heads on straight.
So thank you.
I appreciate you. My question today is essentially, I have two sons with my husband, almost 9-year-old and a 2-year-old. Lately, I've been feeling like my almost 9-year-old is starting to pull away from me. We homeschool. I feel like for the longest time, I've been everything to him. And now he's starting to not see me as cool anymore. He prefers dad. I feel like that's probably
Mel,
natural.
Mel.
Yes.
It is. Natural. He's not suckling on your breast anymore. He's starting the route to become a man. And to do that, they identify with dad. If he identifies with you, that would be different.
Get your point.
Yeah.
What's my role in supporting this?
It keeps changing. It keeps changing. And and then they get older, and then they go off to college, they go off to military, then they get married. It's always changing. But what never ends, boys love their mothers. Truthfully, if the three of you were in the ocean, at any age, he'd save you first. Then he'd go for dad. Seriously.
Okay.
Every male listening to this right now, unless his mother is a total bitch, knows that's true. Boys love their mommies. But they start pulling away from the feminine and start going toward the masculine. That's normal.
Thank you. I knew you would be the person to call. I admire your relationship with your son, or what you've led us into your personal life a little bit.
We've gone through so many ups, downs, and sideways as everybody's gone through their transitions. But he would definitely jump in the water and save me instantly.
Yes, ma'am.
And then he'd ask me what the hell I was doing that close to the edge when I...
Very sweet. Well, I really appreciate that. And I will not take it personal, and I will see this as normal development.
It's not personal. Trust me, if the three of you were in the water, you'd be drying off before he'd go get dad, okay? That's just the way it is. He'd figure dad knows how to tread water. Okay. Yeah, that's just, you know, transitions. And they are interesting. You know, when they're little and tell you everything. And I like the way parents call me. Used to tell me everything. Well, that ended a long time before you realized it. They don't tell you everything anymore. Trust me. That's just the way, and nor should they. They have private lives after a certain point, you know? We don't tell them. We shouldn't tell them everything. Anne, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
What can I do for you?
Yes. Hi, it's really great to talk to you. Thank you for letting me speak with you today. I'm calling because I am part of a small trade school, and I was speaking with another student yesterday, and the student told me that they haven't been paying their tuition for the past year. And I wasn't sure if I should let the school know or if I should just mind my own business.
You should mind your own business.
Okay.
He's there. They have their procedures. I don't know what agreement they have. Just pay your tuition, get your education, and move on. It's impossible with all the computers that they don't know. Leave it alone.
Okay.
Good. Glad you called. Yeah, just leave it alone. Sarah, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. How are you doing today?
Good. What can I do for you?
Okay, so a little bit of a timeline. I started dating a guy 10 years ago. We got engaged after the fifth year of dating. And after about a year of us being, or I'm sorry, not even a year, after probably 6 months of us being engaged and setting a date and planning a wedding, I walked away from the relationship.
Because
I felt at the time like he was not giving me what I needed. But after reading,
what does that mean? What was he not giving you that you needed? What does that mean?
Undivided attention, honestly. Looking back, I was asking for things that my girlfriend should have been providing or my family should have been providing, but I was expecting him to kind of be there for me at all times, with everything and be my sole source of, you know, enjoyment and friendship and, and all of
Got
that. And so I felt like he wasn't doing that for me. So I walked away, and we were friends, casual acquaintances for probably a year or 2 years. And then about a year and a half ago, we slowly started talking more and more and rebuilding a friendship, not anything more than a friendship. And over the past year, it's really progressed more quickly to us dating again, to where he's called me his girlfriend. And, you know, we've both had conversations about we want to see where this goes.
So what is the problem today?
The problem today is that about 3 weeks ago, we had a conversation and I said, are you still, you know, happy how things are going? And he said, yes. And I said, does it make you more confident about the future? And he said that he still doesn't know where he wants the future to go, but that he still does want to see where could go. Not that he wants it to be one way or the other, but just that he does at least want to see where it does go. However, ever since then, he has kind of started to vanish. And clearly after 10 years, it's been 10 years now since we have known each other, I'm starting to freak out. I'm not doing anything crazy. But I don't know what happened. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't want to lose him again. I lost him once. And it
sounds like he's already gone. He was happy to fool around with you back, but in terms of making a commitment again, that's obviously not happening. So this is one of those times when it's a mess. You've learned a lot, and it's time for you to take it into the world. There's no reason to freak out.
Get him back.
I don't think he wants to be back, from what you said. And no woman should spend any time with a man who doesn't really want her back.
It's just he travels for work. So
ma'am,
he was gone.
I don't need to know any of that. Sometimes you can't go back home. It's So you need to consider that. Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura. How are you?
Good. What can I do for you?
Good. I'm just calling to seek your advice on something. I placed my son up for adoption 13 years ago, and it's an open adoption. I have not had any contact with him directly, but when he was a baby, the family was very good about sending pictures and updates and emails and such. I had since gotten my act together and had moved on to the next chapter of my life. I've never once regretted my decision. I know that it was the absolute best thing for him. And I reached a point where I was married, getting married and ready to start a family. And I very nicely explained to my son's parents, you know, they wanted a lot of information from me.
Friend's parents. Who are you talking about? Your friend?
My son's parents. The adopted parents.
Oh, your son's parents.
Yes. And they were very friendly. They just wanted to know about me, how my life was going, how things were. And I very politely just told them, you know, through the agency, obviously, I just said, you know, I chose them. I had the opportunity to choose a family to place him in. And I've had a new chapter in my life. And my son is 3. You know, it's not like he was old enough to speak for himself. And I just politely told them, you know, I'm really not interested in sharing myself in that aspect. And then I just stopped receiving pictures and updates, and I never really got to the bottom of whether or not I had offended them. But my reasoning was I chose them to raise him. I trusted them. I didn't feel like I needed to be a part of that at that age. And I had kind of through the years.
I'm sorry, I really don't understand most of what you're saying.
Well,
are
what
you
I'm
telling
saying
me,
is,
ma'am, are you telling me you gave them the impression that you now want to be involved? Is that a yes or a no?
No.
Then
no.
The impression you wanted to give them at the time was in one sentence. The impression I wanted to give them at that conversation was.
Was it's really not necessary to share what's going on in my life with you.
Well, then you close the door, and so they're leaving you alone, and you should leave them alone. They're not babysitters.
Okay.
They're the parents. And
exactly.
Just leave them alone and get on with your beautiful life.
Well, my question is, and this was 10 years ago, but
my question is,
when my son turns 13, should I reach out to the parents because he's old enough to have his own choices and see if
he's not.
Me to be a part?
No, he is not. And keep out of their lives, please. You did a wonderful thing. You did a wonderful thing, but he's not your boy anymore.
Right.
You gave birth
to
him. You're the bio mother, but you're not his mother.
Exactly.
Don't interfere
with
that family. Please don't interfere with the family.
Okay. Now, when he is 18 and on his own and wants to reach out.
To reach out, I'm probably going to try to talk him out of it.
Okay. Okay.
But I'd like you to leave them alone. That's the family.
Perfect. Yes. That's
and you're
exactly
going to create. Well, I totally support and back you and agree with you. Totally. Okay. Tanya and Diego, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi, Tanya. Hi, Diego.
Hi.
Hi. I didn't hear you. Can you speak up a little bit, sir?
Hi.
There you go. And how old are you, Diego?
I am 10 years old.
Excellent. What can I help with?
I just need advice for me.
For what subject do you need advice for? What problem?
Do you have a specific problem?
Just in life.
You need advice for life.
Yes.
Okay. Let me give that a moment's thought of, I don't think I've ever been asked by a 10-year-old for advice for life. Okay, here's my advice. Here's my advice, Diego. You ready?
Yes.
When you're making a decision about whether or not to do something, imagine magically that all of a sudden you're 10 years older, looking back at the moment you're making a decision, and think, would I be proud to look back on myself doing this? That's my advice for life.
Thank you.
Only do the things that in the future you will look back on and be proud of yourself.
Thank you.
That's great.
You're welcome, sweetheart.
Thank you so much.
Lots of hugs, Diego. Thank you very much. That's one of the most intelligent questions I've ever gotten from anybody even close to your age. So thank you. It was a good experience talking to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ah, can she clone him? Can I have one? 10 years old. I want advice for life. Isn't that amazing? He must be a very deep kid. He's going to probably be doing some important things in life. We're all going to hear about him in the future. Something special, I can tell. Debbie, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for taking my call and hopefully giving me some insight and counsel on something that I don't know a lot about.
Sure.
I have a 15-year-old son. He has computer access to, like, for homework purposes and for...
Are you married to his dad, and are there any other kids?
Yes, but the other children are grown.
Okay.
Yes, and... So he has computer access for homework and for, you know, just gathering information, browsing, that kind of thing. The computer is located on the first floor of our house in the study. You know, there's a fair amount of activity on the first floor. But at any rate, he has viewed pornography. He came to his dad and I and told us what, you know, what he had seen.
And what did he say he had seen?
He had sought out images of women. And
what about women? Women having sex with women, women having sex with men,
women who are unclothed.
Got it. Naked stuff. Got it.
Exactly. And so, since he was age appropriate. I mean, we've had conversations about this and why we felt harmful for him and harmful for other people, women who are being
abused. Did he say why he chose to fess up? When he came and talked to you, he told you that he had done it. Did he tell you his feelings about it? Did he tell you, I just watched porn. I'm sure he said more than that.
He feels guilty because of how he was raised and that this was not a good activity. It wasn't something that we would, I guess, support or condone. And he knew why. So,
and why? What's the why? Why should he not do this?
Well, the why is we think it's harmful to him emotionally and spiritually, and also harmful for the people who are the object of a person's, I guess, I don't know, viewing, looking.
How is it harmful to the porn stars? How is it harmful to the porn stars?
Well, because I think they're simply an object. They're not really a person.
Yeah, but it's their job. They took that on as their job.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess that's their choice, but this is our son, so we're more
I understand that. I was just worried about the argument that you're doing something to them. They're perfectly happy to be porn stars.
Well, I'm sure they are. Today, I'm sure they are. Maybe down the road, they may not be so happy, but...
That's true, too.
Anyway, yeah.
Okay, so how did the conversation end?
Well, I guess the conversation ended, you know, that we're concerned and...
I didn't ask you about your feelings. I said, how did the conversation end?
Well, that's what we told him. We're concerned. We're not sure how to approach this, but we're going to, you know, learn more and come back together and talk about it again. So that's kind of where it ended.
Okay. The next conversation, I'd like it to be without you.
Okay.
And his dad has to talk to him about how normal it is to want to look at the female naked body.
Okay.
Totally normal male drive. Built into the mechanism. Built in, unless, of course, you're not straight. But it's built into the mechanism.
Right.
Okay? So you need to convey this to your husband. But the reason it's not... Just don't say okay. Just listen. But the reason, my dear son, is that it's not a good thing to do is it subtracts love from sex. Which means some men get to the point where they can't love a real woman because it's just more convenient, comfortable, easier, non-threatening to masturbate to porn.
Okay.
And they become completely withdrawn from the ultimate purpose of our sexuality, and that is to bond.
Okay.
And it minimizes your ability to bond, believe it or not. So, dad needs to have that man-to-man without mommy there.
Got it. Can you tell me your thoughts on addiction? I've been researching.
Can you just drop that? He looked at porn. Can you stop getting hysterical? The world is not coming to an end.
Fine.
He's not
going to
be
Absolutely.
In the street with a needle in his hand or just sitting in front of the computer for the next 20 years without eating. Don't take it too far. He came to his parents. We're fine. Don't be hysterical. But have dad sit him down and give the kind of conversation I just talked about, which is practical.
Okay.
Do you want to be a man who can love a woman? Do you want to be a man who can derive his satisfaction in a relationship? And relationships are messy and difficult, and they have ups and downs. And it's much easier to masturbate to porn to a non-real woman and then never have any issues in your life except that you're alone and nobody cares if you live or die. So from man to man, your husband has to tell him all this.
Okay.
And trust me, your husband will be a lot more comfortable doing it, and your son will be a lot more comfortable hearing it if mommy is not in the room.
Okay. All right. Thanks so much for your help.
You're very, very welcome. My number, 1-800-375-2872. You know, guys, you have to want to hear me out, okay? We'll be right back with your calls.
Dr. Laura, she'll make you do the right thing.
Here's my answer. You're not going to like it. You ready? Your son shouldn't be driving until he can afford his own insurance.
Or else.
Ooh.
Call now at 1-800-DR-LAURA.
We're shedding more fantasy. Knowing there's love.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger, my number 1-800-DR-LAURA, 1-800-375-2872. Jana, who is mom, and is it Gate, who is 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Gate, do you have any brothers or sisters?
I have two younger sisters, yeah.
How old are they?
One is 14, one is 11.
Are you very protective of them?
I try to be when I can.
Would you let them date ever?
That depends.
That depends. Okay. All right, Mom. Hi. And what can I do for you guys?
Hi, Dr. Laura. Thanks for taking our call. So my husband and son are at an impasse, I would say. It was a very difficult evening last night. Their method of communication is screaming and yelling.
Okay, can we just finish the sentence? They're at an impasse about...
My husband said he's done He does not want my son to come back home. So he's 18. He is a full-time college student. He does very well in school. He's responsible.
Okay, your husband doesn't... You don't like to finish sentences. That's not good.
Sorry.
So I'm going to help you finish sentences. He doesn't want him to come back home because... Can we just put because at the end of most of your statements, and that will help me out?
Because he's frustrated that he feels like my son doesn't respect him, doesn't get his priorities straight when he's home, just not growing up quite fast enough, I guess, is my interpretation.
One doesn't have to grow up fast to be respectful and have priorities in your parents' home. So I can see you're a little more forgiving, permissive. Okay, so Gate, how do you see this? Do you think your father is out of line or reasonable?
Well, just from...
Tell me the truth.
Experience.
Do you really believe your father is wrong?
Well, I mean, obviously, the kid always thinks he's right. But, I mean, specifically...
sweetheart, stop. I know you can hear me eventually. Stop. I'm not asking you to behave like a kid. I'm asking you to behave like a man. We have a serious family problem. Your father has made it clear he wants his son out of the house. And he's clear that you don't respect him and you don't behave properly at home. So I'm not asking you to answer me like a kid. I'm asking you to answer me honestly. Mm-hmm. Is he wrong?
I believe so.
Tell me how he thinks he should be respected and you do respect him that way.
Okay, so obviously my responsibilities as his son, when I come back from college for winter break, I've been home for a month. I live at home when I'm not in college. So
what are your father's expectations and how are you fulfilling them? Please just adhere to the question.
Yeah, so his expectations are that I do the chores that he asks me to do when I'm home, you know, because I'm staying home, that's fine. And I do those chores. But the problem that we had yesterday was that he asked me to do something that I believe was not necessarily in his jurisdiction. It wasn't a chore, like something around the house to do. It was something that I had to get done for myself, like in college. And he decided that I had to get that done today or all hell was going to break loose. And I felt
I did not understand that. What did he expect you to do? Just tell me in one sentence. I didn't understand what you said.
So I had to go get an x-ray done for a program that I'm doing in college. And there was no time commitment on this. Or it wasn't necessarily, it had nothing to do with him, really. I just had to go at some point and do it. And he said,
if it had nothing to do with him, then I assume he's not paying for your college.
Well, yeah, he is, obviously.
Well, then... You're wrong, sir, when you say it has nothing to do with him. Since he is supporting your education, having requirements of any kind done in a timely manner is his jurisdiction. The only way it would not be is if you were totally financially self-sufficient. Then he would just be annoying. But since he is supporting you and wants things done when he thinks they should be done, that should be respected. So I think you have an incorrect notion of what is his jurisdiction, since you are still a dependent child.
Do you have a comment for that?
Well, I would assume that, I mean, it's more of like an obligation, not really a choice. I mean, obviously, he's being generous and supporting me through college, but
well, then he has the right to make these requirements that certain things be done in a timely manner. So I count this up to you not being aware. I count this up to you not being aware that whoever has the responsibility has the power. And since he has the financial responsibility, he has the power, not you. So you were wrong in that regard at that moment, not in general.
Thank you for that, Dr. Laura. My struggle is, how do I support my husband in our parenting decisions and explain to my son that this is the way it has to be?
You just say This is the way it has to be. If you'd like it to be another way, then you take the responsibility. So, Gate, if you'd like things to be a totally different way, and you want to be the one to make the rules, which is fine, I'm fine with that. I'd be very proud of you if you made your rules, but that means you take total financial responsibility for yourself. That means everything. Health insurance, car, place to live, food, school. When you take responsibility for all of that, they have no right to make any judgments or criticisms or pronouncements. So you either go home and tell your dad that you understand that he is responsible for you and you're not responsible for yourself yet, and he gets to make these requests, and you should have been more respectful in responding. If you're unwilling to do that, pack your bags.
Is there a line?
I told you what the line is, sir. The line is whoever has the responsibility has the power. So wherever he has responsibility, he has the power, not you. For example, if he's totally paying for your car, he has rights about how you use the car. If he's totally paying for your cell phone, he has rights about the use of the cell phone. So the line is responsibility. And since you have not crossed the line and taken responsibility unto yourself yet you will, then he has the power and you show respect or pack your bags and get out and start supporting yourself.
And am I unrealistic to think that in the normal course of normalcy that transition would happen over a period of time, sometimes faster?
No, okay, Jana, what I'm going to need is for you to understand that women, mothers, do not turn boys into men because you're too busy worrying about feelings and making Gate comfortable because you're a mommy. You have breasts. You have a uterus. You gave birth to him. He suckled at your breast. We're different.
Yep.
Fathers turn boys into men, which is what your husband's trying to do. And if you stand in the way of that, Gate's going to become a brat.
Well said.
So that's where your line is.
Yep.
Let me give you a picture. I was vacationing with my family, son and husband, many, 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 many years ago in Georgia, and there was this big pool. And I didn't want to go in the ocean because I'm sure there's a shark with a picture of me looking for me. So I don't go in the ocean. On yes, in no. So I'm by the pool, and I see a mother in the pool holding a one-year-old, one and a half. And the baby is facing her. She has the baby tight to her chest, and she's just sashaying in the water and cooing to this baby. It was beautiful. It was adorable. I started to cry. I want one, too. Anyway, I looked at that, and I was very moved. Father, I noticed, comes into the pool. She hands the baby over to him, turns around, leaves the pool. He flips the baby up in the air, so it catches it facing outwards, takes the baby, and pretends he's like an airplane going in the water. Woo! 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 Totally counter to what the mother was doing, protective and loving. And the father is there, making the kid face risks and challenge and something exciting. Turning. You see the difference between mothering and fathering?
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful. So I need you to back off and let your husband turn Gate into a man, which he can't do with you worrying about, can he take a month to do it? I don't want him upset.
I get it. I know.
That's why they don't have moms next to guys in the military when they're in combat. Can you imagine me standing next to my son and, well, when he was in combat and saying, don't shoot at my son, don't hurt him, leave him alone? You know, I'd be dead. Either which way, he'd be embarrassed. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yep.
Good. Gate, whether or not you accept it, do you understand what I said about power and responsibility?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No,
you have a choice now. You have a choice now to go home and respect the man who has protected you your whole life, tried to raise you into a man, who is totally responsible still for taking care of you. You damn well better show respect for that. And just imagine, 20 years from now, how are you going to help your son become a man? And it isn't by having him backtalk you, challenge you, or any of that. You owe your dad a lot more. You owe him everything. So unless he's a psychopath or a drop-dead drunk, go home and have a good man-to-man talk. Carly, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi. What can
Thanks
I do for you?
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, sure. I live in Iowa. I'm a 40-year-old, a single mom. And
Is that divorced, widowed, or never married?
Divorced.
Okay, that's a divorced mom, which is different from a widowed mom, which is different from a never married mom.
Well, I'm pretty much a single parent of a 16-year-old son.
No, you're divorced parent of a 16-year-old son.
Yes.
There's difference in the experience for the child, minimally.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's why I need it distinguished, because it gives me information about, you know, if the dad dies, usually the extended family is very warm and connected. So that's a different thing than a divorce
Correct.
Where everybody gets angry or never bothered to get married, where there's no extended family there at all. So you see, it's very
and
different.
There isn't an extended family on the other side for my son.
In divorces, there usually is not, because everybody gets mad and takes sides. So it's important for me to know this. Okay.
Exactly.
What can I help you with?
Well, the question I have, Dr. Laura, is my son is 16, and his father has not been in his life for many years. And he does have...
How long is many?
I would say probably about 6 or 7 years.
And why did he stop 6 or 7 years ago?
Because he had gotten remarried and he adopted other children. And
that's disgusting.
And he adopted other children, gave them the children his last name, and we just broke communication. He's went on just because the new wife, she runs the show, but there's really no communication anymore.
Okay.
The question I have is the grandparents, his parents. They have not been in my son Chris's life for probably the last 6 years.
Okay, I can't hear you clearly. Can you move closer to a window or something?
They have not been. My ex-husband's parents have not been in my son's life, Christopher, for the last 6 years. They came up to me. I had not talked to them probably for the last 5 years. They live in the same town as I do. Dad came up to me at his football game and had asked me, they said they were going to be moving out of Iowa and moving down to Mississippi. They had asked that they wanted to see him one last time. And I talked to my son, Chris.
No.
I didn't think so.
We're going to ignore you for 6 years, but because we're leaving, we want to say, hi, forget that.
That's what they
wouldn't give them.
When I talked
I wouldn't
to
give
Chris
them.
And,
I would not give them that perk.
Well, he refuses. He says, no, they haven't sent me a birthday card. They haven't acknowledged me. And
okay.
I said, I think you do.
So how can I help you?
Your advice.
How can I help you? How can I help you? Slow down and stop talking for one moment. Sheesh. He said no. He gave a good reason why no. Why do you have a question past his no?
Because I want to know I'm doing the right thing. Because
who cares what you're doing? He said no. This is his doing.
And it's his decision.
That's correct.
And he's a young man. He's going to be an adult here in a few years.
I want you to take one moment out and stop talking. And only start talking when you can give me the argument in favor of forcing him to see them. Give me the argument in favor of that. Go ahead.
The only thing that I would say would be the good thing out of it is at least he said his goodbyes and they can live with how they have portrayed being.
That makes absolutely no sense to me. He has no need to say goodbyes. Try again.
Then I don't know. They have played this game with me back and forth for years. They like
Carly,
me, they hate me. They
Carly,
like me, they hate me.
Carly! I'll give you the answer because you're worried about yourself and how you look and how you'll take the blame.
Exactly.
And you're a mother, so stop being a baby. be his mother. He made the decision. If they get mad at you, screw him. Who cares?
You're acting like a child,
not like his protective mother.
Exactly. Well, I'm just going to tell them no when they contact me or come on my doorstep after all these years.
Tell them not to come to your doorstep because you won't open the door, and tell them to leave you alone like they have always done. And if they criticize you, so be it. This was all about how anybody was going to get mad at you. And unfortunately, a lot of parents do that kind of thing. It's all about if somebody's going to criticize or blame them. And it really needs to be what's in the best interest of the child. And to say, we want to say goodbye to a kid we have ignored and neglected, and our son has screwed over righteously, so that we can have the pleasure of saying, you must be kidding. I wouldn't even return the call. Tricia, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Dr. Laura. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
This is my first time, a little nervous. Okay.
All right.
So I have a situation here with my downstairs neighbor. She moved in about 2 years ago. I've been in the building for about 18 years. So ever since she moved in, she has been complaining about my excessive walking during the night. Her and I have very different work schedules. I'm a private music instructor, so my day starts at 3 p.m., and I don't come home until like 10 p.m. at night. And they go to bed at 11 p.m. at night. And I do not stop my foot or feet, and I don't walk around aimlessly during the night.
Okay, Tricia.
Yes.
Tell her to go to the owner of the building for them to figure out how to make soundproofing, because it's not your responsibility. You're supposed to be able to walk around your apartment 24/7. So tell her, I'm sorry. I'm not doing anything to disturb you, but to come to me and complain is not reasonable. This is how they built the place.
Right.
This is how they built the place.
Two days ago, and it was getting ugly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tricia?
Yes.
I changed my mind. If she was yelling at you, then you're going to have to send somebody else, an attorney, or somebody else to have the conversation and explain to her that you are not the guilty party. The contractor and the architect are.
Okay. Good. Thank you. And
all right.
I want to run something by you before I do it.
Sure.
I brought some earplugs and I want to give it to them, but I don't want them to see it as something.
I think you should keep away from her. If she's at the point of getting abusive by yelling, keep away from her.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
She's not, she may be an idiot, but she's not stupid. She knows about earplugs,
right.
Okay?
Well,
I have a very nice house, but when I'm downstairs, if anybody walks around upstairs, I can hear it. That's just the reality. And
right.
It's your apartment. As long as you're not banging drums, you 24/7, you should be able to walk around your apartment. So that's just, you know, tell her next time to buy the top level.
All right, she's a renter. I'm an owner. But the bad part is I know her landlord. We are very good, close friends. And
it's not your problem.
Okay. Good.
I'd like you clear on this. It's not your problem. Okay?
Not my problem. Okay.
No. But get an attorney to explain to her, the architect and the contractor. But unless you've got cement, got wood floors, you're going to hear somebody walking around. I have carpets everywhere. It doesn't make any difference. That's just the reality. My number, 1-800-375-2872. So, what's going on in your life? Give me a call. Be right back.
Do the right thing. Talk to Laura.
Remember when you were a girlfriend, you were trying to make him like you?
I don't have that sort of time.
You better make it or you'll have a lot of free time when you're divorced.
Now go do the right thing, or else.
I'm Dr. Laura Schlesinger. My number, 1-800-DR-LAURA, 1-800-375-2872. Lori, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Laura.
Hi.
So my question is, my mother-in-law spent quite a few years trying to fix me, and I recently...
Trying to fix you? What was broken?
Just kind of like getting into my marriage, just whatever, giving me advice that wasn't good, doing different things. Do you want me to give you examples?
Sure.
Okay. So when I was a newlywed, my mother-in-law, my husband was a ladies coach, and my mother-in-law gave advice that I should have sex with him very often or he would cheat on me. And just, I mean, just stuff that I just felt like wasn't her business.
Did you tell your husband about these things?
Yes.
And what did he say or do?
He just said, oh, she's just trying to, you know, help out. She's not really trying to hurt us or...
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, really upset me. So I stood up to her about a year ago when she said that I should cancel my son's birthday party because he was misbehaving. And I stood up and I said, you know, I feel like you're always trying to overstep your bounds, and I'm not okay with you doing that. So she stopped doing it to me. She started to do it with my oldest son. And she's been sending him letters with advice on how to deal with it.
Well, the mail comes to the mailbox. You can always take it out. Have you been giving it to your kid?
Yes.
Why? If you didn't want to, why are you doing it? If you didn't want the advice yourself, why would you want it imposed on your kid? I mean, you're not acting like an adult or a parent. Sorry.
Okay. It's not something I would have thought of.
Well, if you don't want... It's not something you thought of? What does that mean? I don't know what that means. How could you not have thought about withholding the letters?
I just thought that she was a grandparent and a real important part in his life. And
yeah, well, she's also a mother-in-law, and you didn't want her as an important part of your life.
I see what you're saying. Like, I need to protect him on that part of it.
Yes, right, okay. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. Okay.
So when she comes to visit, she also... will say to him that he needs to work on these things, and she'll give them counseling.
Okay.
Questions.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Why are you this weak about parenting? You seem to be extraordinarily intimidated by her, quote, position, that you allow things to happen to your child that you don't wish to have happen. Because you're so afraid, I guess.
Okay.
Of her.
Well, that's what I was asking was, do you think I should
You
step up?
Are the decider of what and who influences your kid.
Okay.
That's your job. You're responsible.
Okay.
You're the lioness at the gate.
Ooh, I like that.
And if she is saying something you think is inappropriate, you take her aside, say, Mary, whatever her name is, can you walk outside with me? No more acting like a therapist to my kid. You do that again, I'm going to ask you to leave.
Okay, that's great. That's what I was wondering.
Good. A go do the right thing?